it's another episode of the Girl Unlimited podcast, episode 34 to be exact. This is the podcast and the platform dedicated to seeing you break barriers, overcome limitations, and create the life of your dreams. As usual, thank you so much for taking the time to listen every other week, which is what we are doing right now. I have a very interesting interview episode actually for you today, and I think you'll be glad you made the time to listen. Now guys, you know that the Girl Unlimited podcast and the platform is big on showcasing and celebrating women daring to break barriers and embrace a new or a different way of doing things. It is literally the sole reason I have had the guests that I've had on the show so far. And my guest today is no different. I find the work she has chosen to do quite peculiar, and you'll see why in a minute. If you've been listening to the podcast for any length of time, then you know that I am a Nigerian. And even though Britain has been my home for many years now, I'm still pretty much Nigerian, and you can probably hear that from my accent. What you may not know is what part of Nigeria I am from. This might not matter much if you are Swedish or you are Norwegian or you're British or you're German, but for a Nigerian, it matters a lot because Nigeria is this vast multicultural country in West Africa with over 200 million people and counting. So here's a little Nigerian history lesson for you. So although the official language spoken in Nigeria is English, and there are three major ethnic groups in Nigeria, which are the Yorubas, the Igbos or Igbo as they are called, and Hausas, there are actually 250 ethnic groups in Nigeria, as well as about 500 languages spoken in the area. Crazy, right? Well, I'm from the Bini tribe, also known as the Edo tribe, and we are located in the Midwestern part of Nigeria in a state which is called, unsurprisingly, Edo State. Now, the language we speak bears the same name as the tribe. So that is the Edo language or the Bini language. And we are regarded as a minority ethnic group with fewer and fewer people speaking the language these days. Myself included, I actually don't speak Edo language. A bit of a sore topic for me, but it is what it is. But my guest in today's episode is Steffi Uwaifo, and she is a young millennial living outside Nigeria. But she is making use of online resources that are available to us, and she is putting this dying language, so to speak, on the international map. And she's doing this by teaching the language and creating resources for both Nigerians and non-Nigerians in the diaspora. Talk about having a tiny niche market, right? Children's book author, as well as the founder of Edo Language Institute, an online language school that offers quality Edo learning materials and resources. So I first came across Steffi on YouTube and found her teaching style and depth of knowledge of the Edo language absolutely fascinating. In spite of the fact that she lives in Germany, by the way, and has done so since her teens, she also holds a master's degree in intercultural communication and business studies. So she's pretty highly qualified to do other things, guys, just in case you were thinking she must not have had other work options. She actually still does this on the side. But it was so important to me to share Steffi's story with you because I wanted you to see what it was like to chase after the call in your heart, no matter how niche or improbable it seems. I'm personally aware of so many women who hold themselves back from pursuing that call in their hearts because it feels too minuscule in the grand scheme of things, or they just feel too few people will buy in. But there is a reason you and you alone hear that call. I can promise you that Steffi's students are more than grateful to her for not ignoring this apparent need simply because she saw the market as tiny. I absolutely love the passion with which she beautifully articulates what she does and how she does it, and I'm sure you will too. Sis, what is in your hand? It is time to unleash it to the world. My name is Tiare, and you're listening to the Girl Unlimited podcast. Hi, Steffi. It's so wonderful to finally have you on the Girl Unlimited podcast. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm really pleased to be here. It's been a long time coming. So, yeah.
Finally. Exactly. It has been a long time coming. I was just saying to myself that having you on the podcast is some sort of self-indulgent, if I'm honest, because I mean, most people who listen to the podcast know I'm originally Nigerian, but may not know that I am of the Bini tribe of Nigeria, mm-hmm. which also happens to be the name of the language, Bini, and it's the language I've spoken in the area. But sadly, I don't speak the language. So my understanding of the language used to be really good, but I mean, over the years, it is slowly diminished the longer I've been away from people who actually speak. So it's something I've kind of regretted for a while. And it just, one day I just decided to like check on YouTube to see if I could actually maybe learn now that I'm an adult. And doing some little research, as you do, you go on YouTube, and lo and behold, I came across this lady, you know, clearly, you know, much younger than I am, but she's teaching the language, and she's all the way in Germany. So first things first, whereabouts in Germany are you based, Steffi?
I'm actually in Frankfurt, so it's in the middle.
Interesting. So I mean, you can imagine my amazement and fascination to see someone who was young, because I'd always had this impression that the only people that spoke were people that were much older. So you know, someone who was clearly young, and she doesn't live in Nigeria, but she was teaching the Edo language like someone who went to school to study it, I mean up to tertiary level. So I was fascinated, and the fascination kind of took over my desire to actually learn. Because it's no secret that a lot of millennials and those that are born after, not only don't they speak, but most of them don't understand. So yeah, to have the confidence to teach the language was really fascinating to me. So from our previous conversation, obviously, I know that you lived in Nigeria as a young girl, and then you moved to Germany in your teens. Yeah. But walk us through what it was like being young Steffi, growing up in Edo State, Nigeria. And just tell us, walk us through a little bit of your journey to this point in your life.
Okay, so as we say in Nigeria, like in Pidgin, you say story. But anyways, I was born in Benin City. Actually, that it's all I know. I mean, now I know Lagos a little bit, but I really, my whole time in Nigeria, I spent it in Benin City. And I always say that I am, I feel very lucky to have been raised by my grandparents. And if I'm honest, I think that is part of the reason also that I speak Edo the way that I do, you know. And also, not just that, in the sense of passing on the language. We all know that grandparents are like, you know, they are the veterans, you know, where they've already already raised their own kids. They've made all the mistakes they could make. And now you're raised by people that have done it all. So I really, 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 really appreciate that. Maybe I was a bit more sheltered, or I don't know, like, but it was, I had a very, very beautiful childhood. When I look back, I really, it was one of the best times of my life.
Wow.
Maybe also that's one of the reason I have a certain connection to the culture, to the language, right? Because I have a very fond memory of the time that I spent growing up in Nigeria. Yeah. So, yeah, that was basically... Yeah, that's pretty much all. But I still have very, you know, vivid memories, you know, things I did, the school I went to. I will not to, like, name any schools, like, specifically. Yeah, then my grandma passed, unfortunately, and she was my primary guardian. And then my parents, who were not in the country, so the decision was made. I keep saying that because I didn't make the decision to come to Germany.
The decision, you weren't involved in the decision making, like most of us usually are.
Nobody asked me. So yeah, and then I found myself here, and yeah, in a new culture, having to learn a new language, you know, new a different society, you know, things work differently, and that does something to you. Also, as a,
you know,
as a person.
Now, that's amazing because, you know, you are obviously multilingual. So not only do you speak English, obviously, we are conversing in English. You also speak Edo language fluently. And you also speak German.
Yes, I speak German as well, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I know people say, like, German language is so difficult. Well, I don't see it that way.
I think if anyone can speak Edo language fluently, I don't think you will find it difficult learning any other language, because I personally think Edo language is difficult. Oh. It's not the easiest of languages, is it?
Many of my students say that, especially like those, Edo language is difficult if English is your primary language, if English is your mother tongue, right? They're just observing things, starting from the sound, you know, the and so on, that it's just difficult. Like, exactly. You know, I teach classes, like, you know, every week. I see that all the time. And then I also see the difference between my other students. You know, maybe they are Yoruba or they are Igbo. So they already have those specific sounds. You know, the B sound is not only in Edo language, it's also in Igbo. So that is quite easier for them, you know, to catch up on those things. Yeah.
You already kind of alluded to the fact that you teach the language, which is how I obviously discovered you, because you were teaching on YouTube. So I guess my next question then is, at what point did you decide, you know what, I'm going to pick this thing up and start teaching? And I'm intrigued as to why you decided to, because there are so many people, understandably, grew up, I mean, now that you mentioned it, because you said you grew up with your grandmom, so obviously that she was the one that taught you the language because you were speaking at home. And now that I think about it, I noticed that my cousins who grew up with my grandmother are the same. They also speak Edo language, unlike the rest of us who didn't grow up with her. But I mean, I'm sure it hasn't probably occurred to them that it can probably teach the language. So I'm I guess curious as to why, at what point you chose to teach the language and why?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good question. I started teaching the language, like, officially in 2017, right? But the seed was already sown back in, like, that must have been 2006, 2007. So I was still in, is it secondary school here? We don't say secondary school like that in Germany. Like, it's a different school system. But I was in I think I was in the eighth grade or something, right? And so there are other students, you know, with Turkish background, with they're Russian students. Maybe they are born here, but still they speak Russian, they speak Turkish, they speak Polish, which other language. And then you'll be in the, you know, during the break time, maybe like that day they just want to talk about languages or so. And he's like, oh, here, how do you say this in your language? And the other one say, oh, is this in my language? And he'll ask me, like, how do you say it? They'll say, in Nigerian. And I'm like, if I start to explain to you guys that there is no Nigerian, you know, we have over 400 languages in Nigeria, you know. So at some point, I made them understand that you don't say Nigerian. We have, like, different ethnic groups. And these ethnic groups, I would say, like, it's as if you're from Bayern, like the state in Germany, and then that state has its own language. But anyways, coming back to that defining moment. So sometimes they will ask me some certain things, and I don't have words for it because, you know, Edo is not, we don't have words for everything yet. Like, we don't have words for mobile phone or a computer, right? But we did have words for a TV. Right. So I started becoming more conscious, you know, just, you know, thinking about the language even more. But also, I think also because of the fact that I found myself in that kind of situation as well, because coming to Germany, having to, like, you, it's like you're starting mentally from the level of a 5-year-old, right? You're learning to speak again, you know, before you develop to the certain level where you are on C1 or C2. Right. So they would ask me these things and I wouldn't find, I was like, okay, we don't really have a word for that. And sometimes I'll go online, right? And I try to find things. And most of the time, other things that I see is people looking for resources, looking for, you know, ways to learn Edo. And there's one that I remember so much. It was on a forum. I think it was like gutefrage.de. So like, it's the way you have, yeah, different forums by then, you know, and this person must have been a young person, went in there and asked, how do I learn Edo language? And one of the response was like, oh yeah, try to go to Benin City and spend like 6 months. So even me that came from, like, you know, I'm an Edo person myself. I know that not everybody can afford to do that, you know, time wise, financial means wise, and all those things, you know. So I'm like, no, there's a problem here. So
there has to be another way.
There has to be another way. And then, of course, I also have to, how do I say, like, honor those that came before me, in the sense that there were, I can't remember the name now exactly, but there was somebody, I had seen a video of an elderly man, like, this person must have been, like, actually, like, older than my dad, you know. So I saw a video of this person, but it was this classic method of being in front of the blackboard and, you know, trying to teach some certain things. And even by then, there were some things I'm like, that sound, you're saying it like this, but it's definitely not like that. You know, it's as if I'm saying, oh, I can do it better, or like that and that, we can do better. Like, you know, and so that time passed. So I finished school and then I moved away, went to uni. And because also by then, when I was still at home, like, how was I going to teach that, right? Because I was just in my small town there. So I went to school and then I had my own laptop. I had, you know, just a bit more autonomy. And then I discovered YouTube, you know, like, oh, this is, I can actually post my own videos, you know, not just watching hair videos and what, I don't know, cats. And, you know, I can actually use this as a platform, you know, to teach as well. So, and also what was important to me, like I said, I saw this other classic in front of the blackboard and that, but I wanted something that younger people can relate to, because I'm looking at myself and saying, what kind of method, you know, how do I learn best, right? So I wanted something that is focused on just, you know, the content. And so I was like, oh, I want something like to record my screen and all of that. But I had no ideas. Like, I wasn't technically well-versed and all that. So, and I just started looking for different ways, and I ended up recording my PowerPoint presentation. I just recorded the screen and put it out there. But I was very, I consider myself a rather, not shy, but I'm reserved, right? So those are two different things for me. So I didn't want to show my face. Right. I didn't want people to recognize me, you know. So my first three or four videos was all just, you know, my voice and the content. Right. But their response was just positively overwhelming. Right. I didn't expect it. Like, people were like, this is what I've been looking for. Oh, this way. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Ma. I'm like, hey, these people are calling me Ma. Like, what? They don't even know.
So I'm just going to say very, very quickly, for those of you who don't know, in Nigeria, when we're referring to an older woman, we would use the words, we would say like maybe, how are you, ma? So it's not madam, or like you would probably have here in the UK, or, you know, it is ma. So an older female that isn't, that maybe an older female that's a stranger or just someone who you just have respect for, you would say, how are you, ma? So, yeah, so just continue. I just wanted to make, so obviously they thought Steffi was an older person.
Yeah, so everybody assumed I was an older person, like a kind of professor from somewhere. And then meanwhile, I was just in my dorm room because I was doing my master's, you know, during that period. So I just, you know, I had a bit some time, you know, in my hand, though I was working also on the side, but I had time, you know. I just do this in the evening when I'm at home. And then people were just responding positively, like people like me, I could see their profile. I'm like, oh, these are people like in the age of my uncle, some in the age of my parents as well. They're like, oh, I'm going to send my child to come here and watch this, you know, I'm going to forward this to my brother and sister. So that was really motivating for me as well, you know, to continue doing that, you know, just putting content out there. So the first time, I remember the first time people then saw my face, that was when I introduced, and the reason was then because I had been ill. I was sick for like 8 weeks. So I had flu, my voice changed. So I said, if I upload a video, people are going to wonder, who is this? So I said,
they won't recognize
me. I said, okay, let me just show my face. And then that was also another thing. Like, people were like, what? You look so young. I thought it was. So that was basically it. And then since then, I've been, you know, recording and posting on my YouTube channel. And then, and then what most things is also, when I look at like my journey with Edo Language Institute, it has been pushed more by the demand, right? So because at first for me, it was just, I wanted to put content out there. I wanted something that at least can be useful to the people who need it, right? And though I have a little bit of background in linguistics, because I did that in my bachelor's, right? But I'm not a linguist. I'm not a professional like in linguists, in linguistics, right? So, but I...
Well, you would have fooled me, because looking at your content, it is, you do come across like someone who studied, you know, linguistics to the, as a core part of your study. So it's obviously something that you are naturally gifted.
Yeah, exactly.
Go on, sorry.
I did in bachelor's, I had the linguistics, but English linguistics, right? As my major, right? And then I had business as my minor, but then in my master's it was different. So I had intercultural communication and business, because I wanted that. I wanted to go to that direction. Okay. Right. So the thing with YouTube, it was mostly people like, they would say, oh, can you do this and this? Can you, please come to Instagram, you know, please come to Facebook, you know? So it's people, they're driving, or they, during that time, they were driving.
Yeah, it was driven by demand.
Mm. Yeah. So I had to listen to what the people needed and deliver that.
That makes total sense. I was just thinking that, you know, just to piggyback on something you said earlier, you were talking about, you know, when you were younger and people say would ask, how does this sound in Nigerian? You know, and it is for me, it is a slight pet peeve, because I mean, I guess we should be a bit fair on most people who don't know, because I guess with most countries, like maybe in Germany, you speak German, even though they are different, there might be different dialects, but the major language is German, isn't it? In English, in England is English, in I don't know what other country, in Sweden it's Swedish, you know. So I guess from that standpoint, people kind of expect that it will be one language, maximum two. But I mean, you said 400, but I actually went to check today and it's actually over 500 languages that is being recorded as existing in Nigeria today. And I think that is very fascinating. But I've also come to, well, I guess this is more like a, and I may be completely wrong here, but I have come to hear, I've heard it been said a lot that the Edo language is one of those languages that is dying in Nigeria at the moment. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, that's not completely untrue. So if I should formulate it like that, so there's truth to that. That the language is dying now, because when you look back home, like I keep saying this, out of all of my cousins, till last year I thought I was the only one, but then I was very happy when I got home. I visited Nigeria last year, and then I noticed that two others, like from my uncle. Those were, they could speak to some extent, right? And they understood everything. But the others, they don't, you know, and it's this thing, and we have to be honest with ourselves. I know there are other, like when you say like historical factors, right? Colonialism, social political things, you know, social political factors that played a role in that, right? But we when we look at the things that we, when I say we, like every Edo person, our parents, that they, where they had, where they would have had influence, actually, meaning in the home, right? So that is would have been our decision to speak this language to our kids, right? But that didn't happen. And as someone who I've spent most of my life outside of Nigeria, but I spent, you know, like the formative years there. Mm-hmm. And I know the mentality, right, of this, I wanted to say it in Edo, but maybe not everybody that's listening understand this, but it's more like, where is Edo going to get?
No, let's do it this way, Steffi. Let's do it this way. You say it in Edo and then interpret it in English.
Oh, they will say, maybe one of you maybe are believable, no, like in the sense of I want my kids to be speaking like English, you know, like big grammars, right? Because we associate the ability to speak English with intelligence, with sophistication, with a higher class. It's about classism, right? And I that is the thing. We cannot say, oh, they are wrong or they are right. You know what I mean? You have to understand the people. Like, you have to get to understand why they think like that, why they do things like that, right? So if the currency, so I say currency, the social currency is for me to, like, appear in a certain way in the society, right? If I get more respect because I can have a certain command over the English language, you know, people associate that with being educated, because the language of education in Nigeria is still English, right? So of course, I would want my child to be perfect in English. I would rather push English than just Edo, because I want the best for my child, right? So that is detrimental to our own language, you know, so the survival, preservation of our own language. Yes, that is one thing, but everyone wants the best for themselves. So if we want to, like, encourage people to start speaking the language to their kids, you know, that people start speaking the Edo language even more, we have to also start from those on top. Like, we have to make Edo language, we have to make it posh. We have to make it attractive for the young people to want to learn it. Like, you know, maybe if the governor would, for instance, I just mentioned the governor in the sense of he's a powerful person, he's someone that people respect, you know, people look up to. Imagine if he would address the state in Edo language. That would be like, and there's a young person watching, like, I want to be like this person when I grow up. You know what I mean? So those are the little things where you can, you know.
My only challenge with that, only challenge with that, and I hear what you're saying, and I agree that sometimes, and we live in an influencer world, don't we? Where, you know, people who are termed influencers, the reason they are influencers is because they have people that follow what they say, right? So I do get where you're coming from. My only issue with that sort of, you know, maybe the governor of Edo State, you know, making an address in Edo language. The challenge with that is there are also other languages who live, you know, so even, and this might just be, like you mentioned, you know, historical issues, you know, the fact that, I mean, let's not even go down colonialism and, you know, how we were dissected as a country, or how we're dissected as even a state, because within the state, you still have what is being called Edo states today. You still have several languages that are represented in that little state. So if the which means that there is a very high tendency that the governor might not even be an Edo speaking governor. He might end up being an Ora speaking, because I remember Ora is one of those languages in Edo state. Might end up being an Ora speaking governor, in which case he can't speak Edo. So what happens then? Maybe social media, like you are doing, really, you know, maybe more people like you.
Yeah, exactly. That's why. Yeah, that's also one of the reasons, like, that I'm doing what I'm doing, because we already have we have that situation back home, right? It's not like I totally understand where you're coming from, but also language. Like, as someone that have lived here, right? I live very close to Switzerland, for instance. They have like four official languages, right? That still doesn't mean, like, they speak German. They have the German part, they have the Italian part, and then the French side, and then another one, right? Romanish, right? So language is also power. Like you decide to say, like, this is my house, so to say, this is our state, and we decide, you know, we choose to speak this language, or our language, you know. But that is story for another day. But the more reason, like, that platforms such as mine, such as Edo Language Institute, and others that will come, like, I want others to come. That is the thing, you know, because the more we have, the more we can interact, the more we can, yeah, we can leverage on that. It's like someone building on what I have already. I've already built so far, right? And taking it on from there, you know, or coming in with, like, you know, additional things, additional knowledge, additional discoveries. Mm-hmm. So that is when we will be moving forward, you know. There was like a group I spent some time in, and I can see that, like, there's a lot of development when it comes to, like, African languages, you know, corpus research, you know, for Igbo language, for Yoruba language, for, you know, and I haven't seen much for Edo, though. But then again, I was really thinking about it, like, to reaching out, you know, to some people in the group and say, like, you guys want to work on so and so and so and so, right? But there is a lot going on, you know. There is, our word is a technologically driven word today. So, like, natural language processing, like, the businesses want to come to the people. They want to the people, regardless of your language, for you to have access, you know, to whatever it is that I am trying to bring to you. So the easiest way for me to gain you as a customer is for me to speak your language, or to offer you my service.
Is this in Germany?
It's not in Germany. Like, it's international, not just in Germany, but it's a platform. I can't mention the name, unfortunately. That's, but there are funds. There are, you know, so many things. I just see, like, what people are doing, you know, for Igbo, for Yoruba, for, like, it's awesome. And I haven't mentioned this, actually, but one of the things that really drove me was, this was before I started teaching Edo, right? And I saw on Google Translate that Yoruba was available and Igbo was available. I was like, I want Edo to be on Google Translate, like, really? So it was like, so yeah, that was like back in 2017. Like, when I saw that, I said, well, this is doable. You know, if Yoruba is here, but Yoruba, they've been, like, really great work that has been done there. And, you know, like, decades of work, you know, of research, of corpus research, like, you know. So,
No, this is the thing. We, apart from the fact that we need more people who are, you know, doing what you're doing, we need more people who are passionate, because I don't know how many people, I mean, let me speak for myself, you know, I don't know if I would even bat an eye if I, you know, went on to Google Translate, for instance, and then, you know, could see that there were other languages there and mine wasn't there. Maybe because, again, it's because I don't speak. One of the reasons, and this is what I love about the Girl Unlimited platform, because the idea behind it was to showcase women who were doing something different and attempting, or daring is the better word, to break barriers Like I said, you could have just been that person who speaks Edo language very fluently, probably even boasts about the fact that you speak the language very fluently. And I'm not saying you do, but, you know, and just left it at that. Or probably it wouldn't even be something that would occur to you that actually, you know, I would like to put this on the map, because that's what you're trying to do. Essentially, you're trying to put this language that essentially might be dying. And just to reiterate what you were saying, or to affirm what you were saying, I have that story as well, which is, you know, I grew up not speaking because my parents, you know, in fairness to them, just like you rightly said, they felt like they were doing me a huge favor to place me in this sort of class where I come across as very educated because I speak fluent English and I don't speak Edo language, you know. And, you know, so I remember my dad sometimes would speak in Edo language and he would correct himself and speak in English, you know. So and it was only as an adult, or maybe as a young adult, and coming across, because I didn't school in Edo State. I schooled everywhere else. I schooled in the northern part of Nigeria. I schooled in the western part of Nigeria. I lived at a time in the south part of Nigeria because my dad was a police officer. So I came across a lot of people who spoke their languages. And, you know, unfortunately for me, which is not your case, because obviously they asked you what this word was, even though that word didn't exist. I'm sure there were some words that you could at least tell them. I couldn't, for the life of me, I couldn't say more than two or three sentences. And it was only witnessing people who spoke their languages very fluently and spoke English very fluently that I began to experience this sort of regret. So I'm really thankful that the likes of you, and I'm hoping that with this platform that you're building, yeah, there are going to be more people who will jump on board and say, you know what, I can actually do what she's doing as well. Because sometimes some people think they don't have the chops, and which is probably one of the reasons they don't do it, because they're like, oh, no, not me. I can speak it, but I can't. So which leads me to my next question, which is, what informs how you create your course, or how you, because I know you run a course and I'm hoping you're going to talk a bit about that later. But how did you come across the way you teach, or what informs the way you teach? Because I've listened to you and I've marveled at the comprehensive structure. You know, you were talking about listening to an older person teach, and you're like, nah, that's not how you say that or that, you know. So what informed that? And considering that you weren't formally trained to teach Edo, you know, anyone listening to you will think you went to university to study Edo language, the way you teach it. So walk us through the creation of the sort of content. I know you said it was driven by demand, but how do you decide, you know, the nitty gritty, how do you come about how you actually teach it, and how do you decide what is included?
Yeah, that's a very good question. One thing I would say is that, well, also to like quickly address the point you made, that yes, I'm not formally trained, I'm not a linguist, right? And I'm not a teacher either, but I have teaching experience. Like, I've been teaching since I was 15. So I was tutoring younger students, right? So I already had that.
All right. Yeah.
So tutoring maths, English, you know, German, and so on. So I already had that before. So, and also
you were teaching German as well.
Like, but I was when I was 15 or 16. So I'm looking at my I'm looking at like younger students. Like, I go through their homework with them, and also the thing is, if you learn a language as a foreign, as a second language, sometimes you're even better when it comes to grammar than native speakers. Yeah. So that was how, like, my students by then, they could profit from that, because I learned the grammar in school. Like, I learned the rules. Some certain things you would ask German native speakers, they just do that intuitively. They don't know the rules, right? So I was teaching that, like, to younger students. Maybe I was in there, I don't know which grade I was, and then I'm teaching students German like 3 or 4 grades lower than me, but with math.
So this is really not your first rodeo.
No. I've been teaching. Yeah, I've been teaching.
This is not your first rodeo. And I'm sure there are some transferable skills that you've been able to carry across as well.
Exactly. Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah. That's the thing. Yeah, there are some transferable skills. Definitely. Yeah. So coming back to the course creation process, right? That actually took me a while though, right? Because my students are not homogeneous, right? So you have people that already have like some certain contact with Edo language, like maybe even on a daily basis, meaning if you live at home and your parents speak Edo or you hear it passively, your level is different from someone else who is just a spouse, you know, of an Edo speaker, right? So at first I was like, okay, should I like separate these people like initially like from in different groups or should I like do something to bring them all to the same level, right? So we really start with the foundation, which is like my courses are usually they are divided into three parts, like I call them three blocks. So the first block is kind of dry. We say dry in the sense of it's very how do I put this, not technical, but in the sense of it's a lot of grammar, right? So it's really giving you the foundation because we're going to need that in the second block, right? So we're starting from the sounds, right? So I know that if you're not speaking an African language, you're going to have issue with these double consonants that we have. So like those ones and understanding some certain rules because be it the like vowel elision that we have always in Edo, right? Or even just the general rules that all Edo nouns start with a vowel, right? That will save your life. If nobody tells you that.
Right? Oh my God, that is so good. That is so good.
Yeah, so there is no, if you come across a word, like for instance, like the name Jessica, Jessica cannot be an Edo word, right? So like look at all Edo names you know, like none of them start with a consonant. Yeah, people can say Nosa, but Nosa is actually ne osa, like it's which God said. And then actually you say Enosahai or Eminosahai is actually the full name, right?
Or people just say Nosa, because I was right? just about to challenge you because my name starts with a T, as you know.
Yeah,
and yeah. So I was trying to figure out...
Mm-hmm. Oh, sorry. Okay. Sorry for saying that.
No. It's fine. It's fine. I actually shared my name in the first episode as my full name in the first episode. And I did that because I've had to shorten it over the years. I started with Tose, which is what a lot of people knew me as, even because I was in music and that was the name I was going by. But even that name, people struggled to pronounce. So I had to shorten it all the way to T, which is why, so my stage name, or as it were, is T-R-E now, but I did go into explaining what the full name is. So you can, that's fine. That's what I'm just saying. You have my full permission.
Okay. So now what that is very interesting. This so we have this T thing in Edo. For instance, if you're going to ask a question and say, let's say, yeah, Steffi. So you're asking, is Steffi sleeping? So you say, Te Steffi Vieja, right? Te Steffi Vieja, like any with R, it's a yes or no question. It's a R-A's or, right? Mm-hmm. So Te Steffi, that T actually, it's almost like maybe you can translate it to Shebi in Yoruba language, you know, so we all know this Shebi, right? In Nigerians. So Te Steffi Vieja is it so that Steffi is sleeping? So that Te,
right?
So it has a particular function. I'm trying to look for like the name for it, right? So it's you use it to ask some certain kind of question, like is it so that, right? You use it to ask for a certain confirmation. Yeah. So in your name, because people are listening now, so they
Tosegeme, which is what it is.
The Tosegeme that there, because it's not a question. This is a claim in the sense of it shall surely reach my time. My time shall surely come. So it's a very the confirmative thing, like to say, like it shall, yeah. Or I can also say, like I will surely eat this food today, or tiga so so and so thing, right? It's a stronger way to say that you shall surely do that thing, right? So it's actually
So are you saying that that is the only exception then, that a consonant could be used?
Yes. Because I don't names, many of them also are kind of like sentences, like they are phrases, right? So in your case, yeah, it is a phrase, right? Or just like nusaha is like what God said, or the thing that God said, right? So, but other than that, like Edo nouns are starting with vowel, and we have 7 of those, right? So, and then, so when they understand that, oh, okay, and they can apply that rule, and you know that Edo verbs always start with a consonant. So it makes life really easier. And then we go through the pronouns. And so it's really the idea behind that is basically just to bring you to a certain level where you have the foundation, which you're going to need later on, right? So, and as we go on, so it's more about applying the language, like you, like bringing on like everyday scenario, because most people, you know, my course is usually like the last, like the one I'm currently running is for 3 months, right? The one before that lasted longer though, right? But this one is for 3 months. So of course, when you're learning a language, 3 months is not a time to, it's not enough for you to become fluent, right? But it's enough for you to gain the necessary knowledge that you will need on your way, you know, to become fluent. So we do really things that you can relate to. And also because most of my students, this is the thing though, because most of my students, they are outside of Nigeria. So like the majority are in the States. And then we have some in the UK, and then some here, like in the same time zone with me, like be it Germany, Northern Europe and so on. So I try to also make, because there's some certain things that they would not be able to relate to if I should like, put scenarios that are in Nigeria. So like it has to be like scenarios here that they can relate with. Maybe we are practicing role play, like, and then for me, of course, I have to put something like, let's say it's on campus and you're meeting somebody, you hearing the name and you know that this person is Edo. So I say like, imagine this scenario, and I write everything down. I say, okay, now we're gonna do role play. I read and you read, you know, and so on. So those are just to put you, take you through through the process. Like we also go do things like, also because on the one hand, of course, I want to give them things that they can relate with in their immediate environment, but I also want to take them closer to things that you can find in Benin City as well. Like sometimes I've done this with a class before, that we went on Google Maps, right? And because we are doing direction, we are doing like how to ask for direction, but also how to give somebody direction. Of course, I don't want to do that in New York. I don't want to do that. Like, so we go on Google Maps, everyone has Google Maps. And then we zoom into one part of Benin City, and I'm saying like, okay, now we're at Ring Road. And then I zoom in on something like a building there, and I say, okay, from so and so bank, give the person direction to this church, right? And then
interesting,
they do that, right? But then they become, and then we have really good, nice conversation, funny conversation. And somebody's like, oh, when I went to Benin City, I stayed in this street, in Adesuwa's grammar school, whatever. So it was, that's funny.
Okay, so it then brings up a question in my mind. So because you rightly said, now you have it's a 3 month course and it used to be longer. So what happens after they finish with you? You rightly said they will not be fluent, but is there any sort of after care that you advise them to? Because like you rightly said, they are not in Benin City, or they're not in Edo State. So finding people that they can readily speak with, I'm guessing, might be a little bit more challenging.
So one of the thing is, and this is going to be like a long, but there are many parts to this, this answer, right? So the first one is, yes, I always say like, you'll not be fluent, but because there's always a test, like at the end of each block, I give a test, right? Because it's for me to assess like what their level. And I'm always astounded, like really, when we do the third test, like how much they understand how much. So there's an emphasis on like understanding and on production. That's like production, like on speaking, right? So, and also on writing. So, and I give them
writing.
I teach by like Google Classroom, so it's digital. So like there is a lot of writing, yeah. So and I'm like, okay, I give questions. Some questions are in English, and I'll say answer in Edo. Some questions can be in Edo, and I'll say answer in English. So vice versa, or the question is in Edo entirely, and you have to answer in Edo as well. So depending on the topic that it is. But I'm always, and I correct these things and I put my comments in there, and then I'm like, wow, like I'm really blown away, right? But also one thing is when, and I get this as feedback as well, you know, like, and this is also one of like this, it's really it's humbling to see that, right? When that they write back and say, oh, this course was really, really helpful for me. Because one of the things I always say right at the beginning when I do the onboarding, right? So before we start teaching, I actually do like, I call it informational meeting, but on also like that's where like all the students that are registered to join any of the classes, they are there. For some of them, that's the last time they are going to see each other because they will not be in the same group later on, right? Mm-hmm. But then we really like try to build rapport and all that. And I tell them, look, this is my advice for you and why you are in this class, but also in general with Edo. If you have the opportunity, if you have somebody that speaks Edo in your household, or maybe not even in your household, because most of us are no longer living at home, but try not to zoom out during conversations, right? Try to actively listen. Because we tend to do that. Like if someone is speaking Japanese in front of me, I'm going to zoom out. Like I'm not trying to. So, but if it's something I am trying to understand, like if someone is speaking Italian near me, because I understand Italian quite like moderately, right? So I'm not completely zoned out. Like I'm actively listening. I'm like, okay, I understand this. I understand this. And then you can add one and two together. And like, okay, I know what they are talking about, right? So I try to, like, that is what I give them. But also, popular culture, right? I know we have Edo movies on YouTube. YouTube has changed the game entirely. So I'm like, sometimes try to go in there, and some of the subtitles are horrible, but like some are doing well. They're good. So try to also use that as well. And if rap music, one thing also we have to be really. One thing I noticed is also, you know, when I look at the Yoruba language, you look at Afrobeat, like Nigerian music industry, you know, with our artists singing in Yoruba, rapping in Yoruba, it makes the language posh. This is the thing that I said earlier, like making it attractive for the young people to want to. They said, okay, this is my favorite rapper, is rapping with Edo. I must know what he's saying today, right? I want to actively listen. And so I share that sometimes. So I discovered this guy on Instagram. He's a rapper. I think his name is Music Junkie. And like when you really listen, like I am blown away. I'm I was so intrigued. Like the way
he raps in Edo language.
And when you listen carefully, like there was really one that was so for me personally,
what's his name? Called,
and his name is Music Junkie. Like just the way you write, Music Junkie. Like you find him on Instagram. So it might not be everybody's cup of tea, right? I personally am not a big fan of rap music, like in general, that genre. Yeah. But when I went there, it was first I had seen a song that he did with someone else. I've forgotten that one's name. Sleazy, I think. So it was titled Adesua. We had somebody in my class called Adesua. So the lyrics were good. Like the lyrics is just, you know, things that young people would dance to, things that, you know, what they can relate to, girls and boys and, you know, all those things. And I shared that, and you know, it was many of them liked it as well. But then there was one which was really like, why I liked it was more the command, like so many things that it was very poetic. But there are so many phrases that I already know, some saying idioms, and that I grew up with, and then seeing him using it in that rap, I'm like, wow, context. This is so that in that context, I'm like, wow, this is so good. Like it said something like something I'm just trying to put, maybe so that listeners can maybe go there and try to look for this
song.
An aronto is a kind of a snake. I don't know if it's the aronto, I think it's even black mamba or something like that. I don't know. Like it's one of it's a popular snake that, you know, people talk about this. Not that I've seen it before, because I grew up in Benin City. Like, I don't think we have snakes like that in town. But but just the way, you know, I was like, wow, I didn't know that, you know, you can rhyme words like this, you know, and then it makes sense. So I shared that as well. So those that like that, they find things that interest them, that is in the language. And also like my book, like my children's book, like the first one that I've published, was just basically
Okay, so you are also you've also published books. How many books are we talking about here?
No, currently it's one, but this year there are more to come.
Interesting.
Right? Even right now that I'm talking to you, so there are more. So yeah, so like the children's book was also driven by demand, if I should put it that way. Because people were telling me like, oh, we need flashcards. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, okay. So I know where my students are, right? And I'm in Germany. Mm. So if I create a product, if I create a learning material, you need to have, I need to like be able to distribute it and as easily as possible, right? So with the flashcard thing, and also with, I haven't mentioned this, but also like I do have a career like on the side as well, right? Or my main career, right? So and so managing all of that, and so I said, okay, let me put a book out there. It's easier to distribute. So with the content that would have been in the flashcard, but let me put it in a book, you know, in a way that people can see, assess it and see get what they want. So like so that went out. That was back in 2019, November 2019, that I released that. But also for the kids, because at the end of the day, I think we wouldn't have this issue if we had gotten the kids earlier. So so even like some of the books that I'm currently working on is also specifically for the younger audience, but of course adults can use that as well. Like I of also, course you know I it's also written there. So again, that this is just this thing with what, like I was saying before, like try to make use of pop culture, be it Edo movies, be it Edo songs, you know, don't zone out. Get the materials that you that are out there, like the ones that you can get your hand on. If you ever visit Benin City, so like one of my students shared a lot of books with us that when she was in Benin City and that she had gotten, and so and then I shared that also with the others in my WhatsApp group, and yeah, so we're just like, you know, like helping each other.
That sounds really interesting, and your course and the way you have mapped it out sounds amazing, you know, and I'm glad you put in that much thought and that much work into it, because I'm sure it's such a great asset for anyone who joins the course. So I guess I am now curious, because you've talked about the books, but is there anything, what's next for Steffi, you know, with the course, with the books, is there anything else in the horizon that we should be looking forward to?
Sure, a lot. Definitely, like right now, because my course is I teach in person, right?
Okay.
Though virtual, right? But then it's in real time. Mm. And so something else I'm working on is to make this course available independent of my presence, right? Meaning like a course that you can take on your own, on my website, like edolanguageinstitute.com, right? So that is one. But then like I would, because the content is already there, the structure, everything is there. But this is also one of the reasons that I am teaching it like in real time, because it's a two-way process, right? So like when I teach this course and then I get feedback, right? And I I'm then and I can easily correct things, right? And I can easily adjust some certain things according to the needs. Like we've had some sessions, right? People, they see something online and they're like, oh, can we do this? Mm-hmm. Can we look at this? Or somebody sent me like a song that she her father used to sing to her mm-hmm. as a baby. Like, oh, can we do this in class? Like lyrics, those songs. I'm like, okay, let's see how we can incorporate that, right? So these have all been very valuable mm-hmm. That I'm definitely going to add to this other course, but it's going to be structuring a little bit differently because it's maybe like in smaller pieces that you can easily digest.
Yeah, so very like self-paced, an hour.
So, but then you can take it whenever you want, mm-hmm. whether you're on the subway, you are, you know, you're going, you know, you can take it whenever.
Yeah, pretty much like how other languages, right. Because you find a lot of languages like that. So where people just buy either, mm-hmm. well, back in the day, it would be cassettes and CDs, but people just buy a course, Italian course, buy a German mm-hmm. course, buy a Russian course, and they learn it without having the person who mm-hmm. created it sitting in front of them. But is there sort of any mm-hmm. support? So if anyone wants to buy those standalone courses that are self-paced, mm-hmm. would they have any recourse to maybe come back to you and so you can get some sort of feedback from how they are getting on? Or is that something that is totally out of the question with that?
These are things that are like, how do I say that? Of course, I can't give everything away here. And also, how do I say, like, I'm not putting guarantee, like when I say something here, because depending on my situation, right? So if I'm pregnant, it's gonna be like my schedule will be like, things will be different, right? Okay. So but definitely like with my current class, right? So I had discussed with them, I also asked them, also I said, okay, maybe we should have like a conversational class, like every once a week, mm-hmm. so people can just dial in.
Oh yeah, right?
Okay. You book it and you right. enter, and then you can ask
like office hours.
It's more of a conversation. Mm. It's not me teaching yet. So, that it could be office hours, but also I wanted to do conversation. Like it's just a session I offer every week, and you come in to practice what you've learned. So we have a topic. Maybe you come in and we are talking about words of endearment that day, right? In Edo. And so we're talking about words of endearment, and then the following week we're talking about festivities. So, and then the topic is going to, like, everyone will be able to contribute to that topic, but then at the same time you're practicing mm-hmm. the applying the knowledge that you've learned in the self-paced course that you're taking, right? Okay. Or the ones that are there also that I've taken the other course that I have taught in real time. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I wanted to create something like that for my students, okay. right? So the thing, I think one of the main challenges for me is basically just capacity in this, like time-wise, right? Because I have a lot of things that I juggle and then still remain, because I value, I think my mental health is being thrown around a lot, but I don't want to put it that way, in the sense of just my emotional health. Like I am not somebody that wants to overwork myself. Mm-hmm. I do this because it's fun for me, mm-hmm. and it has remained fun all this while. Mm-hmm. Also because I know how to manage it. I know when to step back and go on the back mm-hmm. end. Sometimes mm-hmm. like maybe I don't post for like a month, right? But then I'm just focusing on my students, but I'm still teaching, but mm-hmm. I'm just not on social media mm-hmm. because that's what I need at that very moment. But going forward though, I definitely want to, like, a team is not an issue, like administrative work and so on, mm-hmm. you know, but I think one of the challenges for me is like to find somebody else that has this, like, that is in the sense of not, it's in the same maybe vicinity with me, or at least in the same country with me, mm-hmm. that we could easily also, if possible, like, or if necessary, we could meet in person and just like work on things together. Mm. And, or maybe this person can also teach some of my classes, mm. right? Mm. And not just me teaching everything.
I think, and this is just me talking, wearing my think tank hat on. I do think doing your self-paced course will really help with that, because that is one issue that most entrepreneurs experience, which is they don't want to burn out. They are, they themselves have finite energy. So they don't want to expend it, even though it's something that's fun. When you expend, when you give so much and you begin to burn out, you get to that place of burnout where you are just operating on fumes, then it's no longer that much fun. So you then start looking at situations where, and before you know it, you're trying to avoid it and all that. So I love the way you're approaching it, in the sense that you already begin to think way ahead of time and trying to see, okay, how can I manage my energy so I can give the best, you know, because that's what is, at the end of the day, you feel called to do what you're doing, I'm guessing, and you want to do a good job. Yeah. So, and to be able to keep you at that optimum height, or, you know, that you are operating at the moment, then you need your energy. You need to have creative capacity in your mind as well. And I think the self-paced course will definitely help with that. I think with self-paced courses, the main work is in the beginning, because you have to try and put in as much as, and pace it as much as, and try and think ahead and say, okay, if the person who is listening to you, and try and put yourself in the shoes of the person you are going to be teaching. But I think that will really help, because your self-paced course will be able to reach thousands of people without you having to divide yourself. And then all you then maybe be committing to, maybe it will be a group coaching type call, which is once a week, or sometimes some people even do once a month. So I do think, you know, you started out perfectly, because you have listened to the people, your customers, you listen to your clients, you know what they want, and you're walking and you're working with that, you know. So I think you're doing an amazing job. I've enjoyed talking to you today, because I've learned so much. You know, and I'm sure that a couple of people listening to this, not only would they, if they have some, because some people think they don't have anything to offer. You know, what I mean by that is they feel like, oh, you know, I'm just a communications person. You know, I'm just this 9-to-5 person, and that's all I have to offer. But something as almost niche, because what you are doing is really, really niche, in the sense that you are teaching a course on a language that is not one of the major world languages. You would expect that probably it wouldn't even do well. But I mean, I was listening to one of your videos yesterday, and you were saying that you only had a couple of spaces left, and you had at least quite a number of people who had signed up already. Just goes to show that don't look down on anything that you actually have in your hands, you know, because you never know what that can snowball to be, you know. So do you have any last words or any sort of encouragement you can give to our listeners? These are women that are wanting to be the very best that it can be. They have multiple passions and are probably doing multiple things. They don't want to be tied down by stereotypical expectations. They want to break free and be the, you know, be the best version of themselves. So what would you say, Steffi? I know I'm kind of putting you on the spot, but do you have any sort of last words you would offer to our listeners?
I would say, start where you are, like, and with what you have. Most of the time, like, we already have this intuition, right? Sometimes, like, also the fear of maybe not just the fear of failure, but also the fear of success, because you're like, oh, what am I? What if it works? How am I going to handle that, right? But coming back to starting where you are, really, because sometimes you wouldn't. And this is coming from someone who is a kind of overthinker. I wouldn't say like I'm a perfectionist, but I kind of think everything through, and then it's like, then it kind of paralyzes you.
Analysis paralysis. So try to avoid this.
Yes. Try to avoid that. There is a saying in Edo. It says, "Ara veno to ave." You have to look at like a wrestling. Like, so there are some certain things that are lost in translation. So I have to explain it this way. So "Ara ven," "a ven" is to wrestle. yeah, with someone else, right? When two men are in this thing, or women, I don't know, they are wrestling. Mm-hmm. So the like usually there is a circle around it, a small one. But when you start wrestling, some of them are like they are going out of that circle, right? So otove is like the floor or the ground is widening. So the more you are in that, like the space you have is widening up. So it's just to say that once you get into it, it's like you're getting close to the tuner. So you are seeing clearer, like you, the opportunities are opening up. Don't try to do everything on your own. You are not alone. I would put it like you're not alone in some certain things that you'll be thinking. Like if you just reach out or put it out there, talk to somebody about it and say, oh, this is something like I am keen on doing that I'm planning on doing, and try to get see how that goes, like see if what feedback comes from that. But still though, because we know like people can try to put you off on from what you're doing, like based on their own worldview as well. So you have to be solid in your view, in your own position as well. But the thing is still start with what you have, right? And it might not be everything yet, right? It might not be like the way you envision it to be, like where you want to go, but the little thing you have yet, put it down, put it on paper, put it out there. And then a lot of things is driven by demand. Your audience will sometimes tell you, they will sometimes show you the way, right? The other things of like now being nitty-gritty, other things that I would say though, like from a business perspective is like, yes, starting where you are with the resources, right? But then also be as professional as possible in the sense of, for instance, like when I look at Edo Language Institute, I was in my dorm, right? I'm just being candid here. I was in my dorm, right? But when I thought long and I said, how do I name this thing? So the vision, have a vision in the sense of, I knew what I wanted. Like I had a vision of, I want this thing to be an institute later on. I might not be there yet, but that is where I'm going. Mm. So that was a choice of the name. Mm. So be aware of that on branding now, right? Maybe it's also because of my background in school, like the kind of things that I did in school. You know, like I chose a certain color, like our brand color, like color for Edo language, being this tone of purple and yellow. That was not by mistake. That was by choice. Mm. So do those things like in the sense of that reflects the kind of vision you have. But then with the action-packed part, do that with what you have right now. Mm-hmm. Right. So that's what I would say. And also do it in the way you are. There's one thing I haven't also said, like people like may look at me or look at Edo Languages Institute that I'm just teaching the language. I'm just teaching, you know, grammar. But in the background, like one thing that I enjoy a lot is also the relationship that ensues from this. But it's also because of the way that I am. So like when people reach out to me, they say, oh, my wife is pregnant and I need a name. I'm not just dealing with my audience from a business perspective, but also from heart to heart. So it's me doing it my way, the way that I would speak to my friends, you know, to my loved ones as well. You know, today I just responded to somebody. There was one of my last posts that I made on Instagram. It was a name, an Edo name. And then the person reached out and said, you know what? I am so, so happy you posted this, because when I was growing up, I used to have this argument with my sister, my elder sister. And I was telling her that it is so and so, the way you said it in this thing now, right? And then you explained it, you gave a proof, evidence for it now, yeah? And I feel so good to be finally vindicated, like this confirmation after so many years. Mm. And this is someone, he must be in his 30s. Mm. And to send that voice message, like sometimes I wake up in the morning, I have voice messages, it's different things that I can't share yet. But so it's not just about teaching language on just grammar and all those things, but it's maintaining relationship with people, meeting people where they are, bringing them back home to their heart, right? So, and that is part of me doing it the way that I am.
Yeah, no, honestly, so, you've touched on things that are very dear to my heart personally. I don't think that business or our life's work is just about us or just about money. I think it's about connection. I think it's about making a difference in the lives of those that you come in contact with. However, and so you are using the currency of teaching a language, but you are touching the hearts and the lives of people. And that to me is what it's all about. At the end of the day, that is what it's all about. The fact that in one small way, you're able to change a life, you know, you're able to enrich a life. That to me is worth millions. And it's not something you can quantify in monetary terms. So once again, I want to celebrate you and I want to thank you for taking time out to come on the show. And I have been enriched just listening to you. So I'm sure that those who listen will be enriched as well. And just as a final bit of information, where can people find you? You've mentioned Instagram, you mentioned YouTube, and I will link all those in the show notes. So where can they find you?
Yeah, so where it all started, YouTube, so Edo Language Institute, I'm there. Instagram, also Edo Language Institute. Facebook as well, the same name. I mean, I'm on Twitter. I'm not that active on Twitter, but if you send me a message there, I would see it. But Twitter has been on the background, on the back burner for a while. But Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, via email. Like, my emails are also on those all those platforms as well, so like you can reach out to me through email, by my DM, and so on, and also my website. So you can go on my website, edolanguageinstitute.com.
I have to say that you were very, very smart. The choosing that name was very smart, because I only had to put in, I can't remember what the keyword I put in on YouTube was, and your details came up, and that was because you branded your name accordingly. I love what you said about having a vision, but, you know, in my words anyways, having a vision but still stepping into the arena and doing the work. So having a vision means that you think far ahead and you kind of have an idea. You don't have to have the full picture, but you just have to have an idea of where you want to go and then apply yourself in that. And I'm glad to see that that's exactly what you did. So well done again, and huge congratulations for everything that you're doing. I celebrate you and everything that you stand for. And thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you so much. Thank you so, so much. And thank you for providing this platform. I mean, you're doing a great work, really. So I'm really, really, I feel really honored to have been here. So thank you. And thank you to everyone listening as well. So I hope you've been able to take one or two things away from here. And I'm looking forward to, I'm looking forward to hearing from you. So get in touch with me. Fantastic. I'll be glad.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
You, my friend, are a total rock legend for listening to this episode to the end. I hope you found value in it. And if you did, would you do me a quick favor? Would you rate and review this podcast on the platform you're listening? And if the platform you're listening doesn't have the facility to rate and review, then please share the episode with your friends and your loved ones. It would go such a long way in helping spread the word of this podcast. And until next time, remember, you're a unique, remarkably created person with a God-given purpose and unlimited potential. The question is, what are you going to do about it?
That nothing will become of me, that I'll never come to anything but I rise. Yes, you might have given up on me, 'cause you couldn't see why.